Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better,
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 better.
We get
beat,
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 beat, beat, beat,
beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
I think you have to really like Duke to go into New York, play four games, and beat Carolina. Because Carolina going into this weekend was probably my favorite to win it all. They still are in the top three, probably. But you have to like what Duke has done, and you have to like Kansas.
Now we can go home. There you go, Jim Boeheim. Told you who he likes. He ain't picking Syracuse this year.
He likes him because he's not in.
Welcome to it, the Monday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, that's TJ Henning. We will have a Jay Moore sighting Wednesday of this week. We are off in the afternoon, Thursday and Friday, for the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our Hail Varsity affiliates also carry Westwood One, so it's tourney time. Roll your sleeves up. Come on down to Yowie's with us if you're in Lincoln. If you're outside Lincoln, make the trip anyway. And good luck to you on your brackets. Now, I have one in pen already. I am going to let it simmer, let it marinate, and then break it out on Wednesday for the official bracket declaration.
So I usually like to wait a day or two myself, but last night I just got caught up in it and just started looking at the numbers and started filling it out.
No, as soon as, you know, 5:30 hit and CBS was done with the unveiling, the reveal, Junior's like, "Dad, dude, we went over this last year. Your printer's still busted. Can we get a new printer? Because I want to print some brackets." Like, go talk to Grandma.
Oh. She does. I'd be surprised. Junior, does he have a smartphone?
Well, he has an iPod.
Okay. I just didn't know, you know, kids that age, they can do it digitally now.
No, I know. And he's probably filling out a 38th bracket right now. He's going to join us on Wednesday.
Very nice.
To either put us to shame or we'll have another pinata here for the next month.
Yeah, I think ESPN's allowing you to fill out 25 this year.
Right. That's always a sore spot. I don't always remember my logins, and I sure as hell don't remember my passwords from year to year to year to year. So I'd love to get in 400 different contests. It's a lot of work. Just let me fax it in. I'm old school signing day here.
I used to be that way, like fill out as many as you could, just thinking, oh man, all these opportunities to win this cash prize or that. But now I'm just kind of like, I'm just down to one.
Right, and we want that one to be with us here on Hail Varsity at ESPN. So more info to come with our bracket challenge here on 1480. And if you're outside 1480, obviously do brackets with your local stations, but jump on with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be happy to point and laugh or triumphantly award you.
Yeah.
Smartest dude in the room, smartest lady in the room, whatever the case. So we'll get to the NCAA tournament here. Lots of spring football to talk about. Nebraska practices tomorrow. Nebraska practices on Thursday. And then the Husker group is spring breaking it. Good for them. And we want to see you at Yowie's, is quite honestly what we got to ask you to do. Come on down to Yowie's Thursday and Friday. Greg and I will do the morning edition, and then it'll be the madness.
Mm-hmm.
You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. Jacob Padilla, 15 minutes away. No one knows hoops like Jacob. Jacob will give us his thoughts on the NCAA tournament, his thoughts on the weekend that was when it came to cutting down the nets and champions awarded across the state of Nebraska in high school basketball. And some spring football thoughts from Jacob as well. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We'll get Mr. Blackshirt to give us a thought or two NCAA tournament-wise before we talk spring football with him. You'll hear from Mike Riley. Got a crazy Jim Harbaugh story for you in reference to basketball and some bracket do's and don'ts. But let's, without further ado, who do you want to hear from? What are you thinking about right now? If you're a basketball fan in the state of Nebraska, not that your team's not in. Okay, you've moved on from that. You've accepted that since Thursday. Nebraska's not the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy that maybe kept you out of the NCAA tournament. I hate to be disappointed, this rude, but Andrew White left. Why? I don't have one reason circled. I don't have any ill will against Andrew. How many times did the guy come on the show last spring, last summer?
A lot.
A ton. Mm-hmm. I like him. I like Andrew. I want nothing but good for Andrew White. Now, if I'm a teammate of Andrew's, I'm probably still a little pissed at him. And Andrew White in Syracuse got denied horribly. Syracuse had some amazing wins. They got Wake Forest. Danny Manning, once again.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Manning and Wake Forest are in that play-in game. Syracuse is watching. Syracuse snubbed 2 years ago. Last year just got in as a 10 seed, and they went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Syracuse blew up your bracket last year. For most of the time, they've been blowing up your bracket in the wrong way because you picked them because they've had the Derek Colemans or the – I mean, they're extreme one way or the other.
Yep.
But here is Jim Boeheim and cut 13 here, reacting. And he took it well. I mean, he was on fire after they lost, and he didn't like the fact that the ACC tournament's usually played in Greenville or wherever.
Greensboro.
Greensboro.
Yeah.
He'll be playing in Greensboro
yep.
To open up the NIT. But here is Boeheim. He doesn't mention Andrew White specifically, I don't think, but he mentions a couple of grad transfer seniors.
A couple were crying right away. A couple cried a little later. They hung on. It's the players. I've been to 32 or whatever NCAA tournaments. I'm not sure if I've really been to that many or not. I think a couple are gone, but I think it's 32.
It's called vacated.
But for the players, we had two grad students who had never been to the tournament. You know, you feel bad for them. They put their heart and soul into the end of this year and really played well at the end of this year. But I told them, I said, we just didn't do enough. And when you're on the bubble, you can miss for whatever reason. And it's heartbreaking.
You know, that's depending on where and who you ask. Do you feel for him? Because that's immediately where my mind shifted. There's a few storylines mm-hmm. with this tournament, okay? One is the fact that I've been around the biggest Arizona basketball fan I know in my life. His name's Jay Bird. And for the last 48 hours plus, our kids have been playing basketball tournaments, and he's cranked up about Arizona and the Pac-12 getting hosed. Yeah, he's okay. One of those, and maybe you know this Rare Bird, this Arizona-Nebraska fan. You may know that Arizona basketball fan in your crew. They swear by him. Sean Elliott, Miles Simon, Shakur, Stoudemire, and then
Walton Iguodala.
Right. I mean, they're fun. I don't hate on Arizona. But as much as
I have to figure out what that J-skirt nickname would be.
I don't know either. But
Arizona.
as much as he hates Duke and Carolina and that beaten over the head narrative you get, how the ACC is the greatest thing ever, and
mm-hmm.
oh my God, it's Carolina and Duke. And look, I respect both programs. I think they're awesome. I think as much talent that goes through, they should win a title every year, okay? They don't. But he was just hot. Like, Arizona's going to get hosed. They're not going to get a one seed. He's just livid. And he's going tinfoil hat conspiracy here because of the East Coast bias and ACC love and Pac-12 gets no love, and I mean, I just got smoked by it. I like Arizona, but that's what I've been with the last 3 days with our kids playing basketball.
Yeah.
So when these brackets came out last night, I'm not in the selection room.
Hmm.
Here's my criteria when it comes to seeding. Okay, how bad was your wall when you hit the wall? Every team does, and the walls are different. Your walls are different in height. If you're Duke, your wall is you lose two straight, and the world's going to hell. Okay, Duke, Carolina, something like that. Then there was Wisconsin's wall, where they lost 4 out of 5. Okay, and then there's, you know, Kansas, where the world is falling apart because they lost to TCU. And then there's Iowa State, who's got some incredible wins this year, but how'd they lose 10 games? So I look at your strength of schedule. Who are you willing to play? What did you do on the road? Okay, what did you do on the road in conference play?
In Syracuse, only 2 road wins
exactly.
All year.
And Boeheim knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it, and I like his accountability. But back to Andrew White for a second. Do you feel bad for the guy? 3 programs in his college career. Didn't play at Kansas. Clearly they were in the NCAA tournament when he was there, but he had no action.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred to Nebraska in hopes of leading Nebraska to an NCAA tournament. They were 16-18, despite 2 wins in the Big Ten tournament. And then as a grad transfer goes shopping for who's going to make me a high-profile player and who's going to showcase me and who's going to get me to the tournament. And he picked Syracuse. I'm like, pretty good call, Andrew. Nice research. You fit in well. You had a 40-point game.
Yeah.
You averaged 18 a contest. You hit just shy of 40% from three-point land. You were one of the reasons they were on the bubble. Have you moved on as a Nebraska fan where you were maybe rooting for Andrew White to get there, or did you want above and beyond anything this year in basketball for him to fall short? He fell as like the last team out short. Welcome to the NIT, Andrew.
Yeah. I thought it was always interesting that he picked Syracuse. Obviously, he fits well offensively, but a lot of the knocks on him for going to the pros was working on his defense. Yeah, you don't really work on your defense when you play a zone defense in college.
1-3-1, right.
So I always thought that choice was interesting. Like, I know a lot of people who wished ill will toward Andrew White. I guess I wasn't totally in that camp. We had him on. He was great. And I personally thought that when he had his degree from Nebraska that he was going to go and he should go to the D League, and he has an NBA ready skill where he can shoot from 3 like crazy and a good rebounder for his size that he can be called up at any point if he went to the D League. He chose to come back. We all thought it was to Nebraska. Nobody thought that it could be a grad transfer. So that was probably the biggest part of the Andrew White thing was the, you know, leaving Nebraska. I don't have any ill will towards him. Hope he does well in the pros, but
I hope things work out for him as well. And it just, what could have been? This is all hypothetical. Mm-hmm. You go to Syracuse because you think you get a better chance to get to the NCAA tournament. You're the last team out in a monster conference. What could have been this year for you at Nebraska? And I know, shut up, it's over and done with. It's been over and done with. But what could Nebraska have been this year with him?
Mm-hmm.
And would they have been a tournament team with him in this year's Big Ten? I mean, the highest seed you got in the Big Ten's a 4. Purdue can wreck shop against most teams if they want to go high-low, and they've shot well from outside. Wisconsin's an 8 seed, and it's because of that wall they hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you have Michigan. Here's Beeline, 15, after their win. And, again, this kind of all comes back to Nebraska narrative. Michigan got hot a week ago yesterday at PBA. I mean, they got scorching hot and carried it on despite the fear of death incident they came across, and man, they're looking good.
We're just happy to be in. You know, the guys that do the selections do just a fantastic job. They have so much big data in front of them. They have so many things to consider. So we're very happy that we're in. We've played good basketball. If we're going to advance, we got to continue to do that and even probably play better.
Listen, I don't know how much better you can play. Michigan's one of those real interesting teams that you've seen firsthand, a lot of you at PBA, and they were on fire. They looked as good or better in Big Ten play. Can they keep it rolling? That's dangerous for me. Do you roll with the team that won their conference tournament, not named Duke or Arizona? How much gas is in the tank?
Because
a lot of times they'll hit that wall.
And then what do you do with a team like Kansas, who's really well but lost in the first round of their
tournament? We will get to Kansas. We'll get to bracket do's and don'ts in 20 minutes. But I'm not going to blast the committee. Listen,
no.
They studied it. The strength of schedule and the RPI is based on who you beat and who you beat. I mean, it's all a conglomerate of who'd you beat, the team you beat, who'd they beat, and then the team that they beat, who have they beaten?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's take another shot at tequila.
Yeah, it's Michigan gets the 7 seed, Wisconsin gets an 8, but Minnesota, they get a 5 seed. It was kind of interesting with some of the seeds in the Big Ten, but, you know, you got to put them somewhere.
You know what the thing about it is Minnesota really didn't have a bad stretch.
That's true.
Michigan had some non-conference stink fest.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin clearly had some 4 out of 5 stink fest.
Yes.
And then there's Minnesota that just kind of kept on trucking, and if they lost, it wasn't a big deal. Although Minnesota did get taken apart limb by limb by Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In the regular season finale. Here's Coach Cal, cut 10. You had Beilein praising the committee. Cal didn't knife him this year, but he had some words for him.
I love the fact that they said there's 6 number ones right now. We're trying to figure it out. I love that kind of stuff. Be transparent. You don't even have to tell us who it is. The more transparency, the better.
That's him. He has a bone to pick. They don't like him. He doesn't like them. More from Calipari later on, but get your brackets ready. And welcome to the madness. Jacob Bedilla of Hail Varsity is up next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to be with you on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and Blackshirt Jay will be back on Wednesday when we do our bracket fill out. We'll talk some tournament with Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Don't forget your chance coming up soon for a 6-month premium online HailVarsity.com subscription. Welcome in Jacob Padilla. Jacob, how you doing? Good weekend?
Busy weekend. A lot of basketball, but yeah, it was pretty good.
You know, there's so much basketball to soak in between the NCAA tournament and state basketball. Jacob, I want to start with state basketball. Norfolk cuts down the nets in Class A for the first time in a long time. I had a chance to see Norfolk for the last few years with so many loaded teams, and they just never ended up getting a state championship. They got it handled this year. But overall, what was your takeaway with the tournament Saturday, with championship Saturday? What are a few bullet points that'll stick with you?
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool. This Norfolk senior class, I saw Lane McCown, Travis Larson, and Logan Strom all play together on varsity as freshmen right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool to go from that to seeing where they are now, cutting down the nets as seniors. Those guys, they've played together since like third grade. It's one of those typical stories. The kids work all the way up through the ranks together, and Tony Siski coming in, taking over for Ben Reese, who took the AG job, I believe. So it's a pretty cool story overall with Norfolk. I just wish we could have seen a fully healthy Papillion La Vista. Obviously, Ed Chang got injured at the end of the semifinal win, and he tried to give it a go. All credit to that kid, because if you watched him, he could barely move. He's trying to run up and down the court, trying to do what he does, and you could tell how much it was hurting him. He was grimacing, just running out to do layup line. And because of Ed being so limited, I think Io Akinmole took it upon himself, felt like, oh, I have to do this by myself. I have to go out and carry us to the win. And you could tell he was pressing the whole game, and he just did not play well. So that was a little bit of a bummer for overall what has been a really exciting Class A season. I would have liked to see a rematch from that opener where they went to overtime, mm-hmm. and Papillion La Vista won by 10. In Class B, I think that was probably one of the best tournaments start to finish, just based on what we saw in the final between Gretna and Scottsbluff. I've always been a big fan of Scottsbluff, knowing some of those kids, Drew Kupfass and Landon Walker and some of the guys they got out there. So I was not surprised at all that they made it to that point. And man, my heart just breaks for Drew Kupfass, who he had such a good game, brought him back into the game, and then at the end didn't quite get a great look off when it looked like he might have had a chance to. But Gretna, heck of a play by Joseph Johnson. Wide open, catch and shoot three, and he knocked it down. What's crazy is Gretna made 2 3-pointers in the game, both of them basically down in the final moment. So not necessarily a great shooting day, but certainly a clutch one.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. We're talking state tournament action. Jacob, what do you think of the senior class of in-state Nebraska kids and how they translate to the Division I opportunities they have?
Yeah, this 2017 class is the first one that I've been able to see go from all 4 years through high school. And some of these kids I even saw playing eighth grade, like a Glucarope and some of these other guys. So it's almost like an end of an era. It's kind of a surreal feeling for me. This is such a good class. You got so many high-level players, whether it's D1, D2, NAIA. It's so deep with talent this year. And I think a lot of these guys are going to go on to do very good things to the next level. I mentioned Drew Cookshausen. He's going to Chadron State. And they just got a new coaching staff out there, Houston Reed and his guys. I think they're going to be able to turn that Chadron State program around, and Drew's going to be a big part of that. Obviously, Logan Strom played very well for Norfolk. He's going out to UC Davis. And kid's just a smart basketball player. He's going to help that program rebound, pass, can shoot a little bit. You got some other guys. Isaiah Porbear Chandler to New Mexico. It sounds like they're keeping their coach. So that's good for him. Io Akinwole, I think he's going to be really good for UNO. And next year, Tre'Deon Holland's moving on. Mm-hmm. They've got their freshman point guard this year, KD Robinson, who played a little bit, but outside of him, there's not a whole lot at that point guard spot. So I think Io's going to have a chance to compete right away and play. And whether how much he plays or not, if Robinson is the guy, I think Io's going to really push him in practice. The kid's so tough, plays such good basketball. I think he's going to be big for them. Those are just a few of the guys. Like I said, there's so many guys from this class that go on to play at the next level.
All right, Jacob, I want to switch to the NCAA tournament in that bracket. Not a lot of snubs this year. I guess the biggest argument has been for Syracuse, but even then I don't think they're that big of a snub. I want to ask you, since you've watched a lot of Big Ten basketball this year, what you thought about the seeding with the Big Ten teams?
Yeah, I think it pretty much showed that the committee had no idea what to do with the Big Ten. The league was just so balanced top to bottom, but there really wasn't a lot of top-end talent there, and I think that was reflected in their seeding. We got a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, 2 8s, and a 9. So we pretty much got somebody at every kind of level in that mid-tier there. None of them are bad teams, but Purdue, your highest seed there at number 4, and I think that's probably fair just based on what the conference did this year.
Who do you like to keep it rolling for the Big Ten? I mean, does Michigan stay hot? Does Purdue and their size and shooting? I mean, we all remember how just good Purdue was against Nebraska and still didn't win. But I'm saying they're outside shooting that night, and their high-low game is phenomenal. Who do you like in the Big Ten to kind of carry the flag for the conference in the tournament?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that I actually do like. I mean, you just look
next question, says Jacob.
Well, I mean, you look at who all these teams are going to play if they advance to the second round,
right?
Assuming no upsets. I think Minnesota, probably, if I had to pick somebody, has a good shot, and Purdue, no surprise there, I'm taking the top two seeded teams there. They got the best draws, but I think just looking at You got Minnesota, if they can avenge Michigan State's loss from last year against Middle Tennessee, and then Butler would be their 4 seed in the South region in the next round if they advance. And I think Minnesota, with the athletes they've got, the pieces they have, I think they can definitely beat Butler. I think that'll be a good game. And then Purdue, obviously, they got Vermont in the first round, who's a great story this year. Their coach has done a phenomenal job out there. And then Iowa State in the next round. And Iowa State does not have a lot of size. And that's one thing we know Purdue does have. And I'm kind of expecting a big tournament out of Caleb Swanigan. He's been huge all year, and I would not expect that to slow down any at all. So I guess that's kind of a cop-out, just picking the top seed. But there's a reason Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Michigan State are the lower seeds that they are.
Well, I also know you keep an eye on the Big East. So besides Villanova, is there a team in the Big East you like that can maybe go on a run?
I just mentioned Butler. It could easily be upset by Minnesota 4-5. It's not a huge upset, but Minnesota or the Big East, I think, is kind of in a similar place where they've got a lot of solid teams, but no stars outside of Villanova. The difference is Big East has Villanova, and I love that Villanova team. They don't have a lot. Don't have a lot of depth, don't have a lot of size, but they're just so fundamentally sound, top to bottom. Creighton, Xavier, it's just hard to pick either of those teams as they are now when they're weak in state. Providence, they're in the play-in game for a reason. It has barely made the tournament. Don't love that roster. Both the Big East and the Big Ten, I don't think I'm going to expect a huge tournament or a great tournament showing, but I mean, I'm not exactly the best at this. I miss on all the upsets.
You're not alone. Jacob Bedilla with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Lastly, how would you spend a Oregon Creighton matchup? Would you lock yourself in your TV room? Would you spend it with friends? How would you soak that one in if it does happen?
Yeah, that one I'd probably just go up, sit in my living room on TV and watch it. I remember watching the last time. That's the thing. Like with this, it's not necessarily the first time that Crane is playing against Dane Altman, and it's a little bit different than when they played in the postseason tournament a few years ago. I forget, CBI, CIT, one of those ones. I never remember which one is which, but so they kind of already got that out of the way, and at that point they still had some of Dana's former players. So this is a little bit different, but I'm just glad that there's going to actually be a visible half-court line this time around. That should probably help Creighton a little bit.
Jacob, I know you've been doing 100 different things, but a couple seconds here on spring football, the feel you have for Nebraska, and as they got a couple practices left, and the vibe. What's the vibe you feel from this Nebraska team?
I think the vibe is basically just the competitiveness and just kind of up-in-the-air nature. You listen to your coaches talk, and basically they're looking for guys at every single position. There is not a whole lot that is set right now. You've got a few guys that you know are your rock, and then beyond them, there's a lot of question marks, but that also means there's a lot of opportunities for some of these young guys that are able to that will be able to step up and earn some roles at basically all the positions this year. So it's going to be a fun spring to watch play out.
It will. Jacob, we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud. Awesome. Jacob Bedilla with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Let's get you hooked up right now. How about a six-month premium online subscription for you to Hail Varsity? What's that give you? Well, amazing coverage online of football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, volleyball from the staff at Hail Varsity, access to the message board, great content, premium content, inside info, and, of course, breaking news and recruiting analysis. Caller 6 now gets that six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 6, a six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Premium goodness for you, plus a chance of that message board.
Here
community.
Is the opportunity.
Hold on
to
a minute.
For a large company.
We're talking opportunity. What was Animal wanted in on this? It's all good. DJ, did your finger slip there? Richard. Who's your favorite baseball team, Richard? Okay, caller 6 now.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
If you're wondering, I'm not drunk again. That's just every time something messes up, TJ's pretty much, he throws strikes 99.9% of the time. That was a little Tommy Boy reference in the hotel room. Richard, I mean, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I did. I have seen
the listeners
movie.
Are like, give him a breathalyzer. That's where I was going. So it's no fun when you got to explain the joke.
Yeah.
But maybe I got to make better jokes. Okay. Black shirt Charlie. Coach McBride in 25 minutes. A word with Mike Riley at 525. Several words with Mike Riley. And then why Jim Harbaugh's, well, somebody you pick for pickup basketball. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Here's one thing we had to answer here. Conference tournament champions. Help or hurt your team. Cut 11, Coach Cal. He's probably thinking winning the conference tournament every year in the SEC.
My one comment is, tell us what these league tournaments mean.
Nothing.
Before we start playing them. Like, you're not, the body of work
before.
Is going to be the major factor. Now listen to me, for all the leagues,
okay.
Not one league it's important and the rest of it's not important. All of us, league tournaments, we're not taking that much into account. It may get you in or out, but you're not going to move that much on your seed because of a late season run.
Clearly, Michigan and Wisconsin got the middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's still a two seed because the SEC's garbage in most people's eyes. The Pac-12, I mean, Arizona, I'm having a flashback of how great Arizona is thanks to Jay Bird Erickson.
Pac-12's top heavy.
They are, but I like what they got.
Oh, yeah, they're fun to watch.
They're totally. I'm not a big Lonzo Ball guy. You don't score 7 points against Arizona for the love of God in the in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, I mean, foul trouble kind of
I don't
hurt
care.
With that, but still, yeah.
He took 7 shots. You're the second coming, allegedly. Give me more than 7 points. You shouldn't have a 7-point game your entire life since you're 7. If you're the next greatest thing ever.
He's a pretty good assister.
I know.
But,
he didn't have a big assist game either.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and answer some questions that we all have this time of year. With bracket and with prognostication, when it comes to the bracket you can fill out shortly on ESPN 1480, when it comes to whatever bracket or bragging rights you want with family, what type of Kansas team are we going to have this year? Clearly, they're a one seed.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Clearly, they're insanely athletic and dynamic. And clearly, Bill Self has been able to adjust and adapt and thrive until tournament time with this one-and-done crap. He's been incredible. And look at all the cats he's lost in the top five of the draft. Self has been, and Kansas have been, incredible until March. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we got. Elite Eight in 2004 as a 4 seed. First round exit is a 3 seed. You know their history is very shabby, but I'm going to highlight and detail it. 06 in the out in the first round as a 4 seed. Elite Eight as the 1 seed in 07. That 07 team was supposed to be the team that did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. You know about 03 with Mello and Cuse. As a 1 seed and the favorite, they won it all in 08. Amazing game, Kevin Kugler.
Yep.
09, as a 3 seed, a Sweet 16. That's not awful as a 3 seed. But 2010, 11, and 2013, they're the 1 seed. Second round, Elite 8, Sweet 16, as the 1 seed. Just one Elite 8. And one championship, 2 Elite 8s and 1 championship as a 1 seed.
All they're missing is the first round loss to a 16 seed.
As a 2 seed in 12, Kentucky, wasn't it Kentucky or was it Carolina, you know, in 2012? Years run together, I'm sorry. But as a 2 seed in 2012, they lost in the finale, okay? What Kansas team are you...
Kentucky team.
Yeah, what Kansas team are you going to get this year? Are they going to flame out, or are they going to at least get to the Final Four?
I feel like that early round exit they had in the Big 12 tournament is going to fuel them. And they get a little healthy. Graham needs to get a little healthy. They'll get Josh Jackson back. You know, hopefully stop doing stupid things with cars. But I don't know. If that were to happen to me and we're that talented of a team, I think that would piss us straight off and we'd make a run after that.
Sure, but, I mean, that's the point, though, is, I mean, he's had guys like Wiggins and Embiid and he's had some me guys, not we guys. Does he have a roster full of me guys or we guys that are ready to just be done and go to the draft, go to the NBA combine? Mm-hmm. I think this
I don't know. Mason's a pretty strong-headed guy. I think
he is.
I think he might be able to corral them. Yep.
So that's the difference, and I agree with you. I think you get a Kansas team right now that is Final Four good. And I know they got to go through Miami or Michigan State and then Iowa State, but back to that whole chip on their shoulder, Iowa State ended their fog home win streak. They would love to pay back them. So they would love to go Motley Crue or U.S. Olympic hockey team on the old Hilton Magic Gang.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a juicy match. Because wouldn't that one be in Kansas City, too?
I think it would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It would. There's a lot of cute little storylines between that possibility, Oregon and Creighton, obviously. Mm-hmm. The fact that in the second round you could get a rematch with Michigan and Louisville, that was the championship game back in 13 when Patino won it for the Cards. So that's all right. Now, we're in agreement. You'll get a good Kansas tournament team this year.
Yes.
The other thing you need to think about when doing your bracket, free throws. I love the run and gun, fun and gun. Let's launch a three or take it to the rim and 360 slam it. You know why Villanova won it last year? Free throws. Villanova shot 80% as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Villanova beat Kansas because they went 18-19 from the free throw line. And they made their final 10 free throws in the last six minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They went 6-for-6 the final 45 seconds last year against Carolina.
Yeah, every year Calipari and Memphis free throws cost them every time.
Well, Kentucky too.
Yeah, unless you have Anthony Davis.
Unless you're
best.
Up 20 and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Here are some teams. Notre Dame shoots 80%.
Yep.
Villanova's second. Oklahoma State is fifth. Marquette 7th. Vandy 9th. Michigan 10th. Rhode Island, ay caramba, 314th in the country.
Whew.
Wisconsin, 332nd, unless they're playing at Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Yeah.
Then they hit all of them. Kansas, 286th. All right? Three seeds tend to suck. They lose. Baylor, Iowa State, West Virginia. I can drone on.
The Big 12.
A three seed will lose. Oregon, UCLA, Florida State, Baylor. One of those four will likely die and hose your bracket. We'll continue on after this.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Pharmacist Jeff has texted in. Can text Hail, H-A-I-L, to 88474. Hard to hit free throws with both hands around your throat. That is for all Jayhawk fans. Full disclosure, pharmacist Jeff went to Creighton. Just let that simmer for a minute. Last couple of thoughts here on some news and notes and do's and don'ts for your bracket. Six seeds. Love them. Long time. Okay? SMU, before this run they'll have as Magic is vacated, because it is a Larry Brown-constructed team. He is not there to oversee it. But his fingerprints are in the system, if you get my drift. SMU will be great, and then they'll be whited out or erased, because something will come up. I should call their compliance guy. SMU's compliance guy was in the wedding I was at in South Dakota that Indiana weekend.
That's right.
He stays the hell away from the basketball team. It's like, I just want the football team.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd hear those words uttered. Just give me SMU football. You know, someone else can handle SMU basketball.
Thanks, Larry.
Cincinnati can't shoot. They can defend. They're athletic as all get out. They defend the three. They defend the three. I just don't want Virginia again. Like, I'm circling teams where I don't want them to go far.
Yeah, Virginia's
because of their style of play. Virginia makes your head hurt. Okay? Baylor, with their beautiful shot selection. The screw it, let's just shoot it. I want Baylor out of there. I do need to see South Carolina Duke in the Sweet 16 because inevitably Duke is going to get some love, even though that game will be a air quote road game. It's in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
Frank Martin. I want to see Frank Martin lose his, you know what? Lose his mind on a controversial call that gives Duke preferential treatment. Because he'll lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Coach K will just kind of like smirk. And then I want to see the post game of Frank Martin.
That would be good. But I have different thoughts for that matchup.
Well, I'm sure you do. God, I'm embarrassed by this bracket I've got.
You were filming, mine's like...
Is yours done too?
Yeah.
So is mine.
I'm just letting it simmer. Just feels a little chalky. And I'm not loving it.
If we were to light this on fire next hour, would that get us, no pun intended, fired? I mean, would the sprinklers start going off, or do the sprinklers even work in here?
Yeah, it's a good way to test them out.
Yeah.
Find out.
200-year-old building? Well, it's not up to code.
Be some dirty water coming out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. that asbestos water?
Yeah.
Oh, we love this building. It's great. Okay, next hour, shortly, Charlie McBride. I want to tell you about Sauter Heyman and your friends at Sauter Heyman. How about pure-grown diamonds? 100% real diamonds. They're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. That saves you money and still brings you beauty. Eco-friendly, 100% sustainable, pure-grown diamonds. And 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. One of the biggest sellers at Sauter Heyman. Go see why. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island. Rick will give you some tourney picks too. SauterHeyman.com. Coach McBride up next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
We beat, beat.
We beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at it into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. There to help you and loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers. Proud to stand with Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here thinking about going back to Michigan, and it was 24 where I'm going this morning, and it's going to be 90 here today. So I don't know. It's like going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Well, I don't have much for you. It's windy and chilly in Nebraska, and I know that sunshine in Arizona. Before we get into some spring football thoughts, it's NCAA tournament time, Coach, and the state you're in, the Arizona Wildcats, doing pretty well. The state you're heading to, those Michigan Wolverines had themselves a tournament in Washington, D.C. They won the Big Ten postseason tournament. Do you have any suggestions or advice for people who do brackets, and have you ever done a bracket yourself?
Yeah, I have. I think, you know, probably the thing about what people need to understand is the worst people to ask about who's going to win or lose are football coaches. Because, you know, in basketball, half the football coaches don't know whether a basketball all stuffed or pumped up anyway. You know, we had one. I remember one year there was some talk about office bracketing and doing things like that. And so I think, I don't remember back, but it was somebody did it, so they warned everybody, you know, and it kind of got to be just fill the bracket out and see who was the best one, and that was it. I know a lot of the business offices had money on it and things like that, but I think, you know, the one thing is you watch teams play during a year and you kind of get a feeling for some of them. You don't get to see all of them, but I've seen Arizona play enough on TV to know that they're the real deal. I mean, they got 2 7-footers and they're both very, very agile. One's a great player. And then, you know, I don't know why I'm kind of partial to Villanova. No, but, you know, I watched them early in the season, and I just like their toughness and things like that. So, you know, that would be, you know, I don't know if they even end up playing each other before the, you know, final game, but those two teams are two of them that, you know, that stick out in my mind as far as doing it, mm-hmm. you know, going on. And I think if I fill the bracket out, I'd end up with those two.
They, if they make it all the way, they'll meet in the Final Four.
Okay.
So
you can write that down.
Pen or pencil.
Know, the bad thing is when you're coaching and you're giving information out that you've seen this or that, I think that's illegal, but that's fine.
we're just having fun here, Coach. That's all.
Yeah.
So
I know nothing about it.
Right. So in the with the Nebraska coaches, if you guys did a bracket, would the winner get lunch for somebody? I mean, what'd you win other than the fact that you were the smartest guy in the office?
No, you'd just be the only guy with a smile on your face.
Just self pride. There we go.
Right.
A lot of pride with this Nebraska defense, Coach. The black shirts. Let's talk some spring football. And, you know, a lot's been made about Coach Diaco and his energy. That was kind of a storyline coming in, and it's been a storyline through the practices. The media has been able to observe, and also you ask or talk to the players. I mean, they love it. And the term that was used and used quite a bit, at least the practices I've gotten to watch, he uses the word fun. He says, let's have some fun out there. Let's have some fun out there. And you're supposed to do it, but the higher you get, the more of the job aspect to it kind of comes through. But he's kept it, you know, energetic, and he uses the word fun. Let's have fun out there. And that's something I want you to comment on, keeping the kids engaged, but also kind of cranked up to go out there.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, when it gets right down to the bottom line, you're playing so-and-so, and you want to go out, and one of the things a lot of coaches will say, let's go out and have some fun. You know, that's why you're there, to have fun. It's not you're not in prison and you're not pounding rocks or anything. You're there to win and have fun with a bunch of guys that you really care about. And I think, you know, I go back to some of the things coaches did, you know, and that I knew. I know way back when Buffy Doherty would start practice off every practice with a joke. I don't know how he got that many of them, but he would. And then one of the players got to chime in, give their practice, and it usually end up guys screaming yay yay and guys going ooh, and you know, it was a little bit of fun. You know, I saw a film of it actually one time a long time ago, him doing that. And I think, you know, there's little times in practice when you're working in preseason or now, or when you know the players are working really hard, you know, there's always that popsicle break or something that really, you know, those things add a little bit to the feeling that, you know, the coaches care, and you know, you've been working hard and so on and so forth. And then maybe after practice, you have watermelon and stuff like that. And I know that we had these things called gassers, and they were across the field rather than the length of the field. And, you know, we'd run them by position every day, kind of the offensive line and defensive line would run together and so on and so forth. And we had specific lines, and you know, if you didn't run it wasn't real good, because a lot of the players would get on you because you'd have to rerun the whole that again. But when the fun time came is when the relays started. You know, so it's a certain time of year you got to have relays, you know, position against position and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of little things in practice and stopping, and you know, when you know the kids are working stop for a couple of minutes and talk to them and, you know, talk about, let's have some fun and things like that when we're doing this stuff. And, you know, when somebody would not criticize people, but tell them how bad they look doing that particular drill, or, especially the older guys on the younger ones, that was kind of ugly, especially when Peter was here and his brother came. That was really ugly. Because he didn't do anything right.
let's stay there for a second. The constructive criticism of Christian to Jason. How did that usually work?
Oh, I didn't. I mean, they can handle anything. I mean, both of them were true football players. If you criticize them, it was always constructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a personal thing. It was always something constructive. And like I said, you know, you always worry about kids getting in fights in the game, you know, and causing a big penalty and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't worry about that with those two guys. The only thing I worried about was both of them getting in a fight during the game. And so, because they were reading on each other. One was a three technique, one was a nose tackle. And, you know, if something would happen bad, one would blame the other one and so on and so forth. I mean, they were competitors against each other and stuff like that.
I wasn't necessarily asking about your constructive criticism. I was talking about Christian to Jason or vice versa.
Well, everything was negative.
Uh-huh.
You know, you look terrible, or you did this wrong, or why in the world did you do that? You cost us 15 yards on the last series, and so on and so forth. There'd always be an answer, but I wouldn't want to repeat what some of the answers were. But you had to put your earmuffs on.
Uh-huh.
But they were great, I mean, with each other. I think most of what was in fun. And they would actually be part of the, as time went on, Jason kind of took over and did some things in practice, or, you know, they'd help each other and all that. There's a lot of things you can do with a person, you know, during practice to make the game fun for them. I remember my coach used to always I got this saying from him way back when, and he'd always look at McBride, if you got any slower, your heart would stop. And so, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, so, you know, those are the things that, you know, I knew he didn't really, really mean it, but it kind of got you juiced up and going, you know, because everybody was laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, want to switch over to the offensive side of the ball real quick, and that fine line, and you coached offensive line for a number of years.
Mm-hmm, right.
How do you, what's that fine line for you coaching when it comes to pass protection and still being physical? Kind of getting a run blocking mentality and applying that to pass protection, because you got to be so good on your feet and quick on the outside with those linebackers or defensive ends. How do you get that aggressiveness, but also kind of preach patience so it's
right.
Tough? You know, that's well, where I'm going.
Yeah, they have to be so disciplined in everything they do. I think I know Coach Tenneper time and time again would tell us, go get me a bunch of defensive linemen that are offensive linemen, you know.
Right.
That mentality that wanted and those players, and sometimes in practice, you know, sometimes, you know, as they're younger, they kind of get maybe in one-on-ones or in pass rush, they get beat and things like that. And I think that's where the older guys come in and, you know, the coach has something to do. He's trying to run the drill and all of that. And I think that's a big, big thing. But I think most guys, you know, get tougher with age.
Okay.
A lot of times don't come in like, you know, like maybe I like the Peter brothers, or, you know, we had guys on that I had on the first class I had. I didn't know who was first team and who was second, so we alternated every two series. I don't know that's possible or would be possible. I don't know. But, you know, I think if you have a guy that they know you're both good players and you're going to alternate and set up some kind of a tempo that way, you know, with them. And, you know, they know they're going to play. They know they're going to get some rest. They know they're going to be able to play hard while they're on the field. You know, and it's really tough in college because there's so many more plays.
Yeah.
So you really have to really coach for depth.
Sounds like Nebraska's making their way. Coach Riley talked after practice on Saturday about the fact that he'd never in his career been able to have, you know, 10 O-linemen, a true two deep. He's getting closer. He feels pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction when you hear that with the offensive line? I mean, it sounds like they're getting some production.
That fires me up. I mean, I think, you know, you're talking about having fun. What do you want to do? Just put five guys out there and you got 12 or 15 standing on the sideline that don't get to play?
Right.
I mean, and it motivates all of you. You all feel more of a part of the team. And you also feel that I can't let these guys down. I got to, you know, I'm in here and at my position, I got to really play as hard as I can to keep my job or to be in that rotation even. So I think that you know that's part of the thing. I know people say, well, we can't teach run blocking and pass blocking, and we have to do one or the other. And I you know, you've got coach written on your shirt. If you want to take it off, then go get another job.
Get a number of guys ready, and we'll see where Nebraska goes with that. Coach, I want to wrap up here. Coach Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, the thing that I think the offense is excited about, too, in the passing game is with this offense, the ability to always find somebody that's open and just move the chains, the stress. Stressing of the check down, and from a defensive side of things, what's your kind of reaction to that that avenue on offense, finding the back out of the backfield or finding the tight end, not necessarily getting big chunk plays, but getting positive yards on first or second down?
Right. Well, I think number one is you hope they don't have two great receivers.
Right.
Because sometimes you can double up on one and, you know, and get away with it. Some of them are so good you don't have a corner that can cover some of them. I mean, it's, you know, it just depends on what you have back there. And especially if you have young guys, you like to be able to double up on their side or whatever it is against certain people. And, you know, that's the thing right there. But when the run blocking comes and it's third and two or three, we got to get a first down, or it's fourth and one or whatever it is, that's the time when you find out what you're made of. And I think that has to be stressed over and over and over again. And offensive linemen have to really be nasty. I mean, if they're going to run the football, I mean, they come off the ball, you know, on smoking. And, you know, that sometimes is one of the better times to get live stuff going is on the goal line, you know, against each other where you really have to work at it. And then you score. And that's everybody's fired up about that, except the defensive coaches. You know? But anyway, that's kind of the – you know, the kind of motions that, you know, that we went through. We would go live in the goal line each week a little bit, and we just didn't like it because Coach Osborne was the official, and he's an offensive coach, and the defense didn't. When the defense won, sometimes they thought they won, but they really didn't.
Yeah. I got you.
You know, but anyway, there was favoritism, definitely, and I confront them on that. But we never – it was always in fun, and, you know, and it was – you know, if they felt good about what they did and they scored, that's great.
You know how it happened. Exactly. Charlie McBride. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week. Always love chatting with you. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, guys. I hope the weather gets better for you. I hope this weather follows us. Okay. Talk to you later.
Blackshirt Charlie. Well, Charlie, I think your D-tackle was offsides. That wasn't a stop on fourth and goal line. Thoughts from Mike Riley next on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
No yawning. No yawning. That goes for me. That goes for you. That goes for TJ Henning. March to prize madness. Let the madness take you over. All tournament long at Yowie's 8th and Q down in the Haymarket. We want to see you down there. We want to spend time with you. We want to say thanks for listening. And we want to relive last second game winners, just like a year ago. Yowie's Lodge, come find us there Thursday and Friday. And all tournament long, you want some of those sweet ESPN T-shirts. Got them for you. Bud Light is hooking you up. Slim Chickens, Overhead Door, those great folks. All part of March to Prize Madness. So we want to see it on there. And who doesn't need a new big flat screen 55-inch TV? I was looking at him yesterday. Me and Junior were. He's not eligible, and neither am I. That I'd win. But the point is why not come hang out? Frost a cold Bud Light.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing just spread Yowie's Lodge has with the TVs. You may have one in your man cave, but it's going to be nice by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and see us.
Bunch of TVs down there, Yowie's.
Yeah.
They've got a great setup.
You can go socialize.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get out of the cold basement. Come see your friends. Bring them. Yowie's Lodge, March to Prize Madness with us. Here at ESPN. Want to see you. Excited to have you out. Want to see you out. Okay, Mike Riley after practice on Saturday. A lot of storylines, right, as you continue to make your way through practices. I think practice number 11. And here are some thoughts and some answers to questions. Because you have a checklist. You have a set of goals you want to reach. You have benchmarks you want to hit. And one of those that's been prevalent in discussion since Riley's press conference 2 weeks ago Wednesday was pass protection. And how's that going? What's the defense giving you look-wise? And how have your guys stepped up when you've asked quarterbacks to drop back?
Already seen quite a bit of variety from the defense, which is good. Certainly at this point, with any added rushers to the picture, you know, we're not even probably close to what you would say is game ready. The one-on-one parts are good work and a mixed bag right now, I would say, as far as, you know, success ratio with the offense and defense, which is probably good for your team, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I mean, this kind of goes back to what Coach McBride just said when it was offense versus defense on the goal line. Tom Osborne was the official and, of course, an offensive guy. That means he's partial to the offense winning. Mm-hmm. He wants to see the offense win. Coach Riley, an offensive guy, quarterback guru, wants to see the offense win. And the telling part of that whole 20 seconds was, I guess, which means defense doing okay, getting after the quarterback. Got to ask yourself the following. How's our boy Gates doing on the left side? How's the new center Decker doing in the middle? And how is Farniok and Neville on the right side? Because Conrad's been working at left behind Gates because you need two and two. How's it going? How's it going with the two defensive ends, let alone the outside backers, and where the hell's the fourth man coming from? Where's the rush coming from? It's not super Pittsburgh Steeler-esque exotic yet, but it's pretty good variety. Variety is code for different blitzes. How are they doing? That wasn't a ringing endorsement, but it wasn't, my God, we're in trouble. So it was okay. It's kind of a 50-50 deal. You win some, you lose some. But the thing that you're most excited about is this next comment, if you run the ball guy or don't care guy. How are you doing on the offensive line? Big guys who can move. Not just five, but give me 10. How's that coming? The depth on the O-line.
Without being overly, you know, overly thoughtful about this, probably, I would say that we're on our way to having more depth in the offensive line of guys that can play in the game. My goal has always been at least if you could get 10, but I've never been there before in my life. So we're pushing that. You know, we're looking for a real good two deep that are all capable of going in and playing, and we're getting closer.
So that's a goal, but you've never been there ever.
Give me that. I've never been there in my life. I mean, didn't he
my
sound...
goal has always been at least if you could get 10, but I've never been there before.
Interesting.
I want to hear the in my life part. That sounded sad. Somebody shot his puppy or something.
But I've never been there before in my life.
Can't you, I mean, go to HailVarsity.com. Great post-game video, okay? Post-practice video. I'm in game mode already.
It's all right.
But you see Riley just kind of stop and pause and look sadly, like, you know, Bubba just got hurt in the Vietnam jungle and Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
It hits you right here.
Well, it's something I've always wanted, but I've never got in my life.
Which means he could find six guys that knew their way to the field at Oregon State. Gavin them coached him up, and they protected whatever drop back 6'5", 40-yard dash quarterback they had.
Yeah.
Okay? I've never had it in my, life. He's got to be jacked. Hey, if you can get 10, give me 10. You want to get Coach McBride cranked up? If you don't have 8 to 10, the depth.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old offensive line coach that's obviously an amazing defensive coordinator, and he gets just livid at the thought of not having depth on the offensive line, because my man, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get stepped on, you're going to get rolled up upon, and that's if you're lucky. It could be worse. And on that offensive line, you got to have bodies ready to go, can't have much drop off. And just point back to last year when you didn't have guys that had minimal drop-off when you go from first team to second team. Well, you went from first team to third team in a couple of instances. Or you had dudes playing hurt, so they were minimally effective in comparison to what they were, and they're healthy. How'd the run game go for you? Okay? So if they're working there to have Gates and Conrad, and you're going to have Bo Wilson, and I'm just throwing out your in pencil, not pen names.
Yeah.
You have Foster and then Wilson, and then you have Decker. Okay, and then you have Reardon behind Decker. And then, theoretically, Barnett and Farmer. And then you have, wait for it, Neville and Farniok. There's 10. And you better get 7 or 8, 9, and 10 ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't need to go, if you find your starting center and the backup center's money, put him at guard. That is, if Barnett still can't see time. Christian Gaylord, a guy at tackle, played a veer offense in high school, so his pass pro is not that of some. The guy can run block, damn it. He's a guy, too. I mean, you've recruited slews of offensive linemen. Okay. Coach Riley did spend a little more time on the offensive line regarding protection. Protecting your non-dual threat quarterback. That's been a work in progress.
We have all the makings of being able to protect the quarterback. And then the other fact of the matter is you have to protect the line with your scheme. You know, you really have to be thoughtful about that. And what protects the line? Have I talked about this before?
Yes.
It's screens, draws, quicks. You know, there's no way in the world I want to be that team 30 times a game, drop back pass, deep pass set by the quarterback, and then hang on to all the blitzes you're going to see. We can't go there.
That's a troubling conversation over a beer with him. That's the tone I described that. If you're expecting this line or most lines against Big Ten play, and I'm talking against the teams that will challenge for division or conference championship, if they know you're throwing and you got to drop back, there's no way to keep them off balance. They're going to eat you alive. Down in distance and predictability and one-dimensional. Can't. He's shaking his head sadly. They're going, not going to live that way. Can't do it. Not going to do it. Good for him. And you got to protect the line. So don't ask the line to be Jackie Slater and the 78 Rams. Huh? You like that?
Wish didn't get the reference, but
1978 Rams went to the Super Bowl. Vince Ferragamo.
Was that when they were in L.A.?
Yes, they were the first time. The first time they were in L.A. Jackie Slater's 200 years old and still can play. Okay, pass pro. There, Riley gets here into some of the goals with pass protection. Here's more from Coach Riley.
We have to be good in a protection, solid technicians, good players, and that includes the running backs and the tight ends besides the line. But we also have to be thoughtful about what we do.
Okay. So don't suck is what he's saying. Be good. Y'all want it. We've waited a long time in this segment for it. The vaunted quarterback update from Coach Riley.
Quarterbacks look good today. They've been look good the whole time. It's been a really good week watching them kind of assimilate what we're doing. And then we had 48 plays of team today, and that's really, really good for them. And I thought that their time in that period was great, those periods. And then the pass skeleton stuff is just a lot of good repetition for them.
You have him and Langsdorf smiling. Oh, man, they're smiling about the quarterbacks. No matter who wins it, they're smiling because they can sling it and run the offense. Quick thought on the wide receivers. Do we have time, TJ? Coach Riley on the wideouts. He's being kind here.
The receivers, we don't have enough depth today that can play in the games. You know, I think we have a few guys that can. But I kind of like the group, and they made some plays today, some of the other guys. You know, Stanley and DeMornay both look at the top of their game to me.
Now, we'll have another thought here on the other side on the wideouts. Coach Riley, he's looking for bodies that he can trust in wideout other than Stan and DPE and Reimers. It's Reimers, not Reimers. It's Reimers.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, hope you're doing okay on Bracket Monday. Yes. More thoughts from Mike Riley here in a second on his wide receivers. A good Jim Harbaugh story I've been promising to tell you about. And it gets a little awkward, but why wouldn't it with Harbaugh? But first and foremost, Coach Riley, listen, the wide receiver group is dinged. McQuitty and Keyshawn aren't at practice. They can't really participate. You're waiting on Lindsey to get here. And you have some unknowns and some walk-on guys that can play ball. But Riley cut seven here. TJ expanding on that wideout situation.
Stanley is really, really looks good and confident, and he's like the veteran player out here. DeMornay looks physically best I've seen him since I've been here. That's a good picture. And then Gabe Ron and Brian Remmers, those guys make some plays, and they're consistent. They're doing a good job. The other guys, there's a lot of upside, but they're not ready for prime time yet. You know, so we get the other guys that are breaking in. But I like the look of him.
He is really trying to be nice, but he sounds nervous there. It's Reimers, Ream Dog, but not Reimers. Reimers.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the I'm going to save this game's momentum touchdown pass against your hated rival, Oregon. Reimers. Okay, just get his name right. I have a soft spot for 6'4 wideouts that can ball from Lincoln East. Forgive me. Okay. 8. Wyatt Mazur is apparently the next Danny Woodhead.
He's Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That's what I keep thinking when I watch Wyatt, you know. Didn't he gain like a million yards in high school? You know, I coached Danny Woodhead in the All-Star game?
Oh, really?
In the Hula Bowl. Yeah, the last Hula Bowl ever played. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, I got to see him at the end, right? He was in an All-Star game getting ready to go to the NFL, so... That's a pretty easy answer after the fact.
So, let's recap. Wyatt Mazur can do it all, kind of like Danny Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Woodhead ran for a million yards, and Mike Riley would have offered Danny Woodhead had he been here. And his response to the question was, well, hell yeah. I'm saying hell yeah, but he didn't say that. Based on what he saw in the All-Star game and the fact that the Hula Bowl was nice work by one Mr. Woodhead, who's in Baltimore now.
Mm-hmm.
After the fact, absolutely offer him, is what Riley was saying. It's easy.
Yeah.
Dude, Frank still gets killed for that.
Oh, he does.
I mean, that's it. It's like, what'd you do with the quarterback play after Crouch and Danny Woodhead?
Yeah, why didn't you get Woodhead? Yeah. I mean, shoot, man, when you send the all-time rushing record, though.
Oh, I know.
That's going to bring up some questions.
Oh, great family, amazing player, good folks out in western Nebraska, North Platte. I mean, they're great. Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So, what can you do? But, yeah, the Woodhead came up. Let's switch gears, shall we? Should we talk Jim Harbaugh? Would you wager that Harbaugh is a tad competitive?
Oh, yeah. I'd wager a lot.
Like, I'm chucking my clipboard, and right. I don't care if the commissioner is finding me or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be Jim Harbaugh and stomp around and drink vitamin D milk.
Yeah, well, I saw with a clipboard. He'd throw a chair like Bobby Knight.
Maybe. But Harbaugh, very competitive, and this was on the Peter King podcast. He sat down with Brother John Harbaugh.
The calm one.
Well,
somewhat.
Calmer.
Calmer, yes.
But yeah, night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, the calm one. Here's what happened. This was over, I think, Memorial Weekend at the Harbaugh compound in northern Michigan. Anywho, John and Jim were playing a basketball game over Memorial Day weekend. It's almost a year old. But here's where it went different. Like, Jim started playing to win. And it was Jim, John, and a bunch of kids. I'm thinking Billy Madison on the playground. Dodgeball,
yep.
Or get that stuff out of here, going Mutombo on 8-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So, over the Memorial Day weekend, they go up to northern Michigan on Lake Huron. Jim drove up with his kids, and then they're balling in the driveway. And it was a game with the kids, the two Harbaugh coaches, and then the kids.
And then the wives, even.
And then the wives. They started shooting around, and it was a 4-on-4 game. Jack was playing. He's 2.5. Addie's 6, one of the daughters. Katie, 4.5, and Allison, who's 13 or 14. These are John's children. Jim and his wife, and then Sarah, right? So we've got 48 Harbaughs on the court. And Jim's team is down 5-1 because the 13-year-old starts bombing away from three-point land. What happens? Per John Harbaugh, Jim starts going over the top of Allison for rebounds, the 13-year-old. He starts boxing her out from 10 feet away. Next thing you know, it's 5-5. Jim's made and taken all the shots.
And I bet he's doing this all in khakis.
He's doing it, and then it's 6-6, long rebound. He took it for the win over his niece, who's 13. He's 6'3", 235. And that's how it is.
He's not going to lose. The only
he
thing,
won.
The only
and then he goes to his 2.5-year-old son, Jack. Doesn't it feel great to win? Doesn't it feel great?
The only thing that could have made this better is if brother...
I saw it.
If brother-in-law Tom Crean would have been there, and he would have just been going at it, and Crean just getting red in the face.
Oh, you know he...
Oh, man. I would love to see one-on-one matchup between those
two. How about
two.
That household?
No kidding.
Jim, John, and Crean, or Dwight Schrute.
Yeah.
And Dwight Schrute.
Oh, man. I would love to
have
listen to
all those. Have you ever had that happen in your family? I'm asking out loud. Where...
An intense pickup basketball game?
Uncle Frank the Tank gets loose and says, "We're not losing today." He goes full MJ in the pickup game in the driveway.
Not in my family. We're all kind of passive aggressive, so we wouldn't get too aggressive.
Part of me kind of smiles about it. I get not wanting to lose to your snot-nosed cousin. I totally get that. But to get physical with your 13-year-old niece on box outs?
Too much.
Just because she started hitting from three?
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, we'll pick our brackets Wednesday. Jay Moore is in. TJ Henning will get ink instead of pencil. I will have my picks. And Junior will sit in, and he'll make a case for Michigan State going all the way. We can all throw and point and laugh at him. Don't forget, Yowie's March to Prize Madness. The madness starts Thursday, Friday, beyond. Your headquarters for the tournament, 8th and Q, ESPN1480.com. Log on and check out all the great prizes. Dan tweets in, at least he being Harbaugh, didn't, quote, sweep the leg. It's going Karate Kid there. And I say to you, Dan, it's because people were around. There would have been witnesses. Just playing hard.
Yeah.
John, didn't mean to ruin your daughter's athletic career because she has multiple ligament tears with my leg sweeping.
Yeah.
But her foot was on the line for three. She counted it. That's how that conversation would have went.
Oh, yeah.
They're totally the family that calls a foul and pick up when they haven't called fouls all game long. What do you know about pickup, Schmidt? I've seen it played once. Point is they're not going to call a foul until the game's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, who you buying? It's time to buy Cinderella. It's illegal. Eastern Tennessee State, Middle Tennessee State, Gulf Coast, Dunk City,
mm-hmm.
Vermont, Winthrop, I think was a character in Trading Places, Bucknell, Northern Kentucky. I think Northern Kentucky is the White Lightnings.
Yeah, and we're former Nebraska ball Ashante Jones, I believe, transferred there.
Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet God. Iona.
About that knowledge.
Didn't Bear have a 36-point game once in his life?
At Nebraska?
Yeah.
Ooh, that seems a bit high.
Didn't he transfer to Kentucky, though?
Bear Jones?
Bear came or went
somewhere. I
think it's
Northern Kentucky he transferred to.
No, but Bear went somewhere and had like 30 off the bench for somebody. Yeah, worth
that
a
might have
been Memphis.
That's Robert Salier.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
getting that one hurts.
I'm getting my transfers confused.
Robert Salier, the guy. Yeah, okay.
No, okay. South Dakota State also is considered a Cinderella. Of those, who are you buying?
I am buying Middle Tennessee. I am buying Dunk City.
Over Florida State. Really? All right, whatever.
I thought about doing Eastern Tennessee.
It's your money.
Just couldn't do it. I'm also buying UNC Wilmington.
Don't get caught up in it. Just don't.
You're not buying any?
My biggest upset probably will be... you're going to have a one seed go down to the Sweet 16. I'll leave you guessing as to who.
All right. I think I know where you're leaning.
I think you do. All right, friends and family, if you're out with them for a good time and you're having a couple and someone offers you a ride home and you say, no thanks, I'm good. Remember, mixing alcohol and driving never a good thing. You can be arrested. You can take a life. You can lose yours. You can go to jail. You can pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Thanks to Jacob Padilla and Coach McBride. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Take care.